Welcome to the Words with Jam podcast. Back in July 2012, Lisa Perra read to us from her debut novel, Spirit of Lost Angels. Today she reads us an extract from the second book in her L'Auberge des Anges series, Wolf's Angel. This time, the provincial town of Lucy-sur-Vion sits under the heel of German occupation, and young Céleste, inheritor of the Bone Angel, must do her part to help liberate occupied France.
The midnight sky was glittering with stars when I heard the middle stair creak with Patrick's soft footfall. I slid from my bed and watched from the window as the boys gathered in the U-shaped courtyard below. I recognized them all, strapping the supplies to their bicycles. Patrick, Olivier, and Gaspard Benedict, another village boy. André Coppo was there too, the boy who limped from polio, and Ghislaine Dutrottier's brother, Marc. I didn't doubt my mother knew about the boys' activities in the cellar, only pretending to believe they were meeting to play cards, that the shelves of rice and salt lining the cellar walls truly were for the black market. She might be a bitter and unforgiving woman, but I knew that such was her hatred for the Germans, she would never betray her son. Patrick straddled his bicycle and held a finger to his lips. He beckoned the others to follow, and, their berets pulled low over their ears, they all cycled out beneath the wooden gateway. I scuttled downstairs, out into the quiet night and across to the shed. I threw a leg over the rickety bicycle Felicity and I had shared before she left, and cycled away from the farm. Pools of moonlight bathed fields of shoulder-high wheat, neat vineyards and orchards, the fruit dangling from the branches like Christmas decorations. My heartbeat quickened with every movement, every new shadow that darkened my path. My throat tight, I swallowed hard, pleased I'd remembered to oil the chain. While I did find it thrilling cycling around at night in Bosch-infested country, it was also frightening to be out without an Ausweis, the laissez-passer which allowed a person to circulate after curfew. I expected a fierce bloom of headlights to blind me any second, the police to demand why I was out cycling at midnight. I reached the woods and the familiar path, gripping the handlebars as the bicycle bumped and shuddered across the sun-baked ground. I did feel safer here, sure the Boche wouldn't be skulking around the woods at night, but a swooping bat startled me so that I shrieked and almost fell from the bike. I reached the clearing beside the railway tracks, the main line the Germans used to transport munitions and fighting vehicles, and stopped well away from the boys. I concealed the bicycle in the undergrowth and crept closer to where they were hunched down at the track. A twig cracked behind me. I spun around to the luminous amber-green stare of a fox, but the fox too seemed afraid and slunk away through the scrub with furtive elegance. I moved a little further along and crouched beneath a rocky cleft, my breath quick and shallow in the clawing air, my eyes and ears alert for the slightest sound or movement. Patrick, Olivier, André and Gaspard were still down at the track, while Marc Dutrottier moved off up the line to, I supposed, his lookout post. An owl hooted into the darkness and I jumped. My quivering fingers grasped my angel pendant, and I willed its strength to my brother, forced to become the man of our house when the Germans took our father for voluntary labour service. Nothing could happen to Patrick and Olivier, to my memories of summers on the Vion River, of winter snowball fights, of dancing and drinking cider and feasting on stewed meats and pastries at festival time. The little angel seemed to reassure me that even if it meant taking human lives, we were doing the right thing. We had to drive the Boche away. They were still bent over the railway line, Patrick's ear against the silvery blue sheen of track. Even as I felt the pulse of my frustration with them for refusing to let me join in, I was excited to be there, part of the resistance, that mythical organization where rumor scrambled after counter-rumor, and nobody was certain who was friend and who was foe. It was a word that conjured images of secret meetings, midnight escapades, and the thrill of danger. Patrick raised his head from the track. "Now!" he cried. Hands moving like darts, tongues out, sweat glossing their brows, the boys secured the dynamite beneath the rails. "Time," Patrick said. Olivia glanced at his watch. 2 minutes. I could almost hear the seconds tick by and feel the night air tense with our anxious breaths. Olivia whistled to Mark, who started jogging back to the others, unraveling the electrical wire as he came. The train appeared around the twist of valley, belching mushrooms of smoke. Heavy with tanks silhouetted against its mountain range, the rhythmical did-did-did-did-did-did seemed more urgent the closer it came. "Hurry!" Gaspar hissed, and they plunged back into the foliage, hunkering behind a rock. The helmets of the German soldiers perched atop the train gleamed in the moonlight. I stared at them with hatred, those sinister sentries cradling their guns, their eyes peeling the countryside for danger and saboteurs. I needed my angel talisman harder. Did it, did it, did it, did it. Faster it seemed, and deafening as the train was almost upon us. "Go!" Olivier shrieked. "Now, get down!" Andre hit the button, and any further sounds were lost as the train exploded in a golden shatter of fireworks. Bursts of sparks fanned into the navy sky, metal shrieking as if it were in agony. Our hands clamped over our ears, we cowered from shards of flying metal. The Germans were shrieking, one continual torturous wail, their helmets and uniforms flaming torches as they tried to flee the burning wreckage. The locomotive screamed like a shot horse and groaned as the whole train lurched sideways, cavorted off the rails, and crashed into the ravine on the opposite side of the track. "Let's move it," Patrick said. The moonlight lit their smiling faces as they hurtled back along the woodland path to the bicycles. I breathed out, long and slow. Another success for La Résistance.